Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Joel Johnson, who'll be sitting in for Master Watson today. Joel, what's up?
Here I am.
Here you are.
I feel like this is like my first full game now.
Because you're completing a series?
Four at bats.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point.
A single, a walk, a couple of strikeouts.
Fortunately for not only myself, but everyone listening, you are getting a lot better.
Thank you. That just builds my confidence.
Well, as you know, I do enjoy a nice backhanded compliment, which what I just said is the opposite of, hey, Joel, I'm a big fan of your early stuff.
I really like your instrumentals.
Your live music is great. So back to this part of being live, you are listening to episode 4 of a 4-part series that Joel and I have been producing lovingly. And it's all related to digital strategy. If you want to catch the first series, the first episode, it's called Digital Strategy. I do recommend starting there if you haven't. During these 4 episodes, Joel, who is also the chief marketing officer at Fullscale, which today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, where we help you build software development teams quickly and affordably. We actually do more than that because our clients do benefit. We have a full marketing team and some other stuff. You could theoretically hire a developer at Fullscale and then utilize our marketing team to execute all of the stuff that we're going to talk about
today.
Man,
how rad would that be?
Yeah. Oh, I do it every day. We are our own clients, which is actually what is fun, not only about the podcast, but Fullscale, because we tore pages out of our own playbook building it, man. So speaking of building, the prior 3 episodes, we've gone through a lot of stuff. Like what? What have we talked about, Joel?
We've talked about digital strategy, just step 1. We've talked about channels. Mm-hmm. What channels do you want to be in?
Let's back up this. Okay, so digital strategy is just like the overview. That's like, and you consider yourself, your resume says you are a digital strategist.
It was a title that was bestowed upon me at one point.
Okay. Well, I like it though.
I did too. Yeah. It was my favorite.
No, I think it's smart. I mean, I'm a digital strategist in some regard.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So then,
channels. I mean, what channels do you
What are our options?
Right. What are our options? Or can you be?
Then we talked about the message?
The message.
How to say it.
The tasty tone, the flavor,
yes,
if you will.
Yeah. And that part of it is important too, because you can have a good strategy. You can understand the channels, but if you're delivering the wrong message, it's no good. But today is really what it comes down to. And whether it's digital strategy, a business plan, go to market, any of it, none of it really matters if you don't execute.
You got to pull the trigger.
Yeah. And what we're not going to cover today is actually the things that you need to execute if the marketing works. A lot of people they will say, oh, I tried that and it didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And unless the result was complete crickets, that's probably not the marketing's fault. So if people showed up to the business, you got leads or whatever, that's the execution of a digital strategy.
Yeah.
So one of the things we'll talk about today is Google Ads, and we save this to the end, but we say Google Ads because I bulk CPC or cost per click ads into just Google, which actually it's not like Google, YouTube, LinkedIn, Amazon. I mean, all of it.
Lots of options.
That's how they make money.
Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people that say, oh, I tried CPC ads, but they didn't work.
How many times did you try them?
Well, no, they blame the ads because the ads only job is to give you traffic or a lead or they're very specific about it. What you do past that should probably be a complete different series. But the purpose of marketing is to create leads. It's to create action. It's to create brand awareness. There's a whole lot of different things. So it has executed itself properly when it does that. So you have to be very, very humble. And you can't say the marketing didn't work. The marketing created heat, traffic, whatever. Now there's part of where I want to start is, before you can determine whether you executed anything properly, like, what are your goals? What are your targets? Like, what are you shooting for here?
I hope that you've thought that through. Well, you know,
that was part of the strategy that we wanted to create, but you know, it needs to be an enhanced level of it when it comes to execution. So, if you're trying a lot of the different things that we talked about everything from blog marketing to Instagram to YouTube and all that stuff. But if you're not tracking where it's coming from, you're not going to know. You're going to have 9 different things that are raining down traffic and you're like, wow, the marketing's working. It could just literally be one channel and 8 of them are terrible.
Right. And for me, it's kind of like math or algebra, which I was terrible at, but it was the show your work part. So being the CMO for this company, I have to go to you and you say, Joel, what are you doing? And I say, I'm doing this. And you say, show me your work.
That's about half the time. And then the other half the time, I'm like, dude, can you just take care of it and we can see if it works or not?
And then I do.
Yeah. But
that, it does.
But that, right. but you're right with that. And you know, what if prior proper planning prevents poor performance? Mm. Well, you got to have a little bit of strategy. Now, when we talk about that, so for example, today you showed me a very simple outline. You said, look, this is how I want to tell our story on Instagram over the next month. Mm-hmm. And you just had some pictures and they had an arrow that went to the next one. And I saw a simple graph. I'm assuming and hoping that that did not take like a 40-hour work week to put together, right?
No, it did take some thought initially, but I know the story that I want to tell.
There you go.
Luckily, our team in Cebu had after I found them, you know, they had provided the graphics and images that will help tell that. So no, all in all, it did not take 40 hours.
Right. So then back to the subject of execution. So, you know, to recap, you developed a strategy. You have chosen your channels. You've defined or refined your message. And by the way, that's an ongoing process. You're never really done with that.
Never.
And now it's time to execute. Now, you know, when it comes to execution, I mentioned that you want to be tracking your goals, your path, your conversions. And this is where I'm going to start on the way and to sharing a lot of my experience with paid marketing execution. And I kept that for last because there's some complexity to it and then there's not. But if you're not, if I'll tell you what, if you aren't doing some simple tracking, which by the way, you can do for free, Google Analytics, they have goal tracking stuff.
Yeah. I will say too, it's an intimidating place.
Yeah.
You know,
Google's whole analytics platform and goals.
The paid advertisement that, you know, it's intimidating.
Yeah. So with that, I've got my first execution tip and that's start small, like really small. Why? Because you can burn through a lot of money.
Yeah. Small in regards to your budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Start small. Make 1 or 2 campaigns.
Yeah.
So you're going to, when I say a campaign, like there's something and look, all of your businesses are different. Mm-hmm. So for example, Full Scale, we sell tech services. So I might start with a simple objective of capturing a couple keywords or ranking for a couple things. Now, that said, you need to avoid being overly general. I'm just going to give you that advice up front. Okay. So you're going to create a campaign and you have to start determining what you want to accomplish. What keywords do I want to be found under? Now, when it comes to executing, Google is going to suggest about 1 million of them.
They even have people that will help you.
Yeah. They will help you spend your money faster. And honestly, I don't really recommend that. There are a lot of tools within Google's AdWords platforms and a lot of the other platforms that you can use. Now, if you're a business, you're probably going to want to be on Google, YouTube, LinkedIn, and if you sell products, Amazon. So I use CPC ads to help sell my books on Amazon. We occasionally use targeted ads on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So the really where I'm going with this in the end, the execution, okay, Google has the most refined of all of them as far as a management and input platform. It has the most flexibility, has the most things that it can do. It's the most sophisticated without a doubt. Google Analytics will also tie in to simple goal tracking. On your website or whatever you're doing, there's a number of different ways you put this in. If you have a basic WordPress site, there are even widgets and plugins that exist just for you to put tracking code in. Mm-hmm. If your business is a little more sophisticated when it comes to tech, your developers can put it in.
Sure.
But you really need to know what's doing what.
What's that tracking code for?
It's so they actually know. It's a cookie, basically. It's a tag, and it goes, and it's not seen, felt, or heard by the front end user. All the gibberish. By the way, if you go to your website and you're using Google Chrome and you right click, and you select the option that says view page source, you will see what a search engine actually sees, which looks like gibberish.
It's the Matrix.
No, it's really not. It's code.
I mean it. Well, yeah,
it makes sense, but in that you'll see it. There's a little tracking code that goes in there, and it just Google knows it. Yep. Google Analytics is free.
It is.
It is free, and it's an amazing tool. So with the tracking code, you have to establish what a conversion is. So if you're going to execute your campaign fully, what are we trying to execute? What is our goal? What's our target? What's a conversion? So a conversion, I'll give you an example. If you are a software as a service platform, that might be a sign up, a free sign up.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are selling a product, it's a completed transaction. In some cases it could be a lead. You get it. Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Now, there are more sophisticated additional tracking methods. Like I just mentioned, if you're a software as a service company, you want to track who signs up based on your ads. Really, in the end, the full answer is how many of them become a paying user.
Right.
So that is more sophisticated tracking. But let's just start with something simple, like how much does it cost? So your goal with execution is how much does it cost to get X desired result?
Okay.
There's not an industry standard across all businesses. What's the value of a customer worth? At full scale, it's high because our clients stick around for a long time and they spend 15, 20 grand a month in many cases.
Yeah.
So I can embrace a higher COA, cost of acquisition.
Right.
So that COA is the same. That's a term that extends past any, whatever you're trying to acquire, a sale, a lead. I mean, in some businesses, it's a phone, it's a call.
A phone call, yeah.
Yeah. And these are all things that you can track. Google AdWords will help you set up stuff and do it pretty easily. Now, I mentioned start small. Why? Because this is a learning process. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't done CPC ads before, I will tell you right now, you can spray money down the well with a fire hose.
Maybe even more like Niagara Falls in some cases.
That's probably a better analogy. And why? Because if you don't know what you're doing, you don't have experience, you're going to learn pretty quickly that first off, overly general terms are no good. And I'll use Gigabook as an example, and I used this earlier, appointment booking software. Okay, that has to have a specific type of tag with it. In that case, so with CPC, you have generally three different kinds of response. You'll have an exact match.
Yeah.
If they put in appointment booking software, I'm cool with that.
Right.
But if they just put in appointment booking and I'm using what's known as a phrase or a broad term, I'm going to show up anytime someone says appointment booking.
Where would they say something
DMV,
like that?
DMV Ooh. Appointment booking, Dr. Johnson's appointment booking.
Okay.
All of it. Okay. So the reason you want to start small is you're going to pick some keywords, try to make them as specific as possible, put a tiny bid and a tiny budget out there. Let it run for a day and see what happens.
Yeah.
Now, when you create what's called a campaign and you establish a budget around it, just tell yourself up front that that's the whatever amount you set up for that is you are okay with getting absolutely nothing for that amount. So whatever your threshold is for just getting nothing, that's a good place to set your expectations.
Yeah. Well, so if you did get nothing, what could you look at after the campaign was over?
Okay. That's a great question. Thank you. So let's say we spent $50 and we had a couple, say we did appointment booking.
Okay.
All right. And we just left it general. Mm-hmm. It after that ran about sometimes in really near real time, but within 24 hours, Google will begin to tell you what search terms triggered your ad, what people clicked on, all of that. Okay. So it would say DMV, Arizona DMV appointment booking. Mm-hmm. Now they don't make that. Those are search results. You can go and look at them. Now the thing that if you're going to do CPC, please, I'm not going to get too stuck on this. Make yourself an expert on negative keywords.
That sounds bad.
Well, it is bad because those are the things that you don't want to be found on because you're guaranteed a negative keyword. So by the way, you have three, you have exact match, you have phrase matching, and then you have broad match. So appointment booking and a broad match result is anything that even close to appointment booking is going to show up. Now, look, those are real enticing at first because they appear to be cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's because you're going to burn a lot of cash getting that result.
Right.
Okay. So you also have two things to consider as well. You have CPC, cost per click, and then you have CPM, which people get the theory of what CPM is, but they don't often know it. It stands for CPM, cost per milla. That's per thousand. That's the cost of your ad per thousand impressions upon the buyer.
All right.
All right. So if my ad is seen by 1,000 people along the way to me spending my $50, mm-hmm. my CPM is $50.
Got it.
Okay. Now that would actually, it depends. Now what's a good CPM? Dude, it depends on what you're looking for. But typically on all these ad platforms, the more precise you get with the targeting, the more expensive that CPM is, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad.
Right. So you're saying it could cost me less per thousand, right?
A low CPM. Well, okay. So on a super general sense, most of these platforms across like the whole thing are going to be in a $5 to $8 CPM.
Okay.
Okay. So but that doesn't tell us shit.
Right.
Right. That's just like a generalist thing. So like for LinkedIn, I might pay up to $80 CPM, but the precise delivery, I might be literally putting a full scale ad up for chief technology officers at companies that have between 11 and 200 employees and are located only in Kansas.
So in that case, though, it's the higher cost adds a little bit more value because they've already kind of targeted for you.
Well, they are targeting it for you, but then you are more or less guaranteeing that you're only showing that's as targeted as it gets. What I just mentioned, I could even thin it down.
Sure.
So, but the thing is you're trying to not leak. You're trying not to leak ad budget. So that's where negative terms come in, and that's where your execution can fail in a hurry. You can have the greatest strategy. You can pick the right channels. You can have a super message. But if you're serving ads and 80% of them are to people that are never going to buy anything from you or don't have much of a chance, you're not going to execute your digital strategy well at all.
Right. You'll end up working at the Arizona DMV probably.
After making an appointment there on my booking platform.
Right.
So now the ad platforms, they have those tools and those views in there, but they're not going to inherently make those up in your face. And you got to ask yourself why. Well, they want you to spend money, man. Mm. They want you to be successful, but they want you to spend money. So, when you go to set up like for Google, for example, they'll suggest a ton of keywords. Don't take the bait and click the use all button. I'm just telling you right now.
I may have done that early on in the mixtape days.
Don't.
I was at $50. So it's a good test.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing too, is like, pick some precision. Now, Google does have some really awesome tools. So you're going to have to establish a bid. All right. Okay. And that's either based on CPM or CPC. And when you see the results in Google, so whatever's number one is created by someone who's willing to pay more for that click than the next person. that simple.
That makes sense.
So your bid does matter, but Google has some tools that I do like. And one of those is enhanced bidding. So you can set some thresholds, right? You can tell it to be, basically tell it to be a little more aggressive or not. Google is the tech company.
They are.
In the world in many ways, but this is why they're like worth $1 billion. So they use machine learning and different stuff. It is in their best interest to help you become successful quickly.
And why is that?
Because they want you to keep spending money.
Right.
But in the beginning, you have to learn. Mm-hmm. You want to key, learn. You can find a whole lot of articles that you can read in 20 minutes that are going to give you some very tried and true methods when it comes to executing your CP, your paid marketing, effectively. Mm-hmm. So start small.
Find a good source too, someone that's reputable or some entity that's reputable. I know it doesn't
matter. Maybe at the same time though, like so many of these articles are just the same thing rehashed.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying a lot of times it's finding something that you're comfortable with and employing that strategy as your test.
Yeah. So there are a ton of online tools. Some of them are free and some of them are paid. Mm-hmm. One that we've used is SEM Rush. It's SEMrush.com. There you go. There's a free ad. I think pay like $100 a month for it. For some people that might give them sticker shock, but when you start looking at how much you're leaking. So
what does SEMrush do?
It's keyword analysis.
Okay.
It helps you understand like, to really look at things. Like you can actually, and I don't want to say spy, but you can kind of spy on your competitors.
Okay.
You can say, all right, so if we have joel.com and matt.com and I like what you're, I see your ads everywhere, whatever. It can help me determine for Matt.com when and where I should be, like what kind of ads you're using and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like, and those things are, well, they're kind of open source in a ways. Some other things that I have found useful are there's some free online tools that are, so I mentioned having exact match phrase or broad. When you enter those keywords, you put things around them like brackets or quotes. And that's how Google knows and knows the difference. And now here's the thing is if you have like 500 keywords, if you get to that point, there's like some simple tools that just help you make that. Like literally about how much time it takes to put quotes around 500 different keywords.
Yeah.
But, and then another thing too, is when you're creating your budgets and your campaigns, and honestly, this is good execution advice. So an exact match should be a higher bid than a phrase match, which should be a higher bid than a general match. Don't accidentally outbid yourself.
Okay.
Because if someone is typing in the exact phrase that you want, mm-hmm. and by the way, appointment booking would be a terrible exact match, right? That's not good. Appointment booking software, or to take it, appointment booking software, then let's say dentists. If that's what I'm seeking, that would be great. I want to pay more for that because the likelihood of my conversion rate being much higher is that. So that's where targeting comes in. There are any of these platforms from Instagram to Amazon to LinkedIn, YouTube, Google, all of them, they help you target your data that is so controversial in many days. That's what it is. So, then one other thing to consider as well is, you might want to put, depending on what your business is or how you offer services or when you're there, you might want to put time parameters around it.
What do you mean?
If you are trying to drive people to make phone calls, you probably only want to serve ads between the hours that you're open.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's like, and a lot of people don't think that out.
Yep.
So you can set up times. You might not want to show ads on the weekends. Sure. You might want to not want to do certain things. So back to starting small. Now you're getting some data. The tools that are in most of these things are going to then help you make some bid adjustments and some stuff like that. That I really do recommend. Don't just set up some ads, spend a lot of money, and then come back. You like those early days. They can be brutal.
Yeah.
They can be brutal. You can go through a whole lot of money learning some tough lessons. So, and once again, it's just your risk for tolerance and pain. There are online tools. And then this is also why digital marketing agencies exist for many, because you can hire an expert. And in those cases, they're typically going to want a percentage of what they help you spend. Be careful with that too.
I was going to say, have you ever dipped your toe in that pool before?
No, because I'm kind of a glutton for my own punishment, but okay. I like to learn to do things.
Yeah.
Now here's the thing. If you learn this stuff, the tools that are in these platforms make it very, very cruise control later. But once again, learn, set goals, do some conversion tracking, set budgets that make sense, create things into different campaigns. Just make sure that you're keeping track of conversions, because that's the only thing that matters. You'll see people clicking ads and they seem like they're great. Because I've done this post, like running ads without conversion tracking. I'm like, dude, this keyword's killing it. Then we put the conversion tracking in later, which we should have done first. Mm-hmm. And then we realize, oh my God, these never convert.
Yeah.
And
right.
And who cares about why? You turn those keywords off and you dial up the ones that are. So
yeah,
different in every business. And then if you're a low volume, like a low transaction, okay, full scale is a low transaction business. I mean, we don't get like 500 new clients a day. Mm-hmm. It makes it harder to track data because you don't have a whole lot of examples.
Sure.
So like for me, I just like to, how many leads, like a lead, then that's filling out a contact form or mm-hmm. submitting something like that. And that's a good place to start.
Yeah. I think you can kind of look at it in stages a little bit, you know, like getting contact form filled out is a good thing. All right. Well, how can we build off of that? How can we turn that positive traffic into leads?
Yeah. Yeah. And then the final step when it comes to executing CPC and paid advertising properly is you need to really give some thought to where you're directing the traffic, because inherently you're going to want to point it at your homepage, which in many cases might be the absolute worst place. Mm-hmm. So you heard the term quote landing page, like people that are businesses that are very, very centric. I already mentioned earlier the keyword combo, maybe of appointment booking software, dentists. In that case, I should make a specific page that is about the features, advantages, and benefits of using Gigabook in your dentist office.
Of course.
And if I can drive you to that, that's going to answer questions faster. It's going to keep people on the page longer. They're not going to have to search for info, and then have something there and that. Look, the more steps, the more clicks you make someone have to go through, the more data you want to collect, all of that, every single time you ratchet that number up one more, you will lower your conversion percentage significantly.
Imagine that every customer, potential customer you have, does not like any steps anywhere.
Well, that's why Amazon rules, inside dude.
Right.
I bought a bunch of, once again, I bought a bunch of stuff from the Amazon app. Getting ready to go to Cebu. I needed some stuff. It's easier for me to buy it here. Boom, 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 boom. One click. Like there's a methodology.
You walk away feeling like you just saved a lot of time.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. So think about you want to have the minimal. And that's another thing too, is like, do you really need to collect all the data you're trying to collect? Like at full scale, if I get a lead, if I have your name and your email or phone number, okay.
I don't need, yeah.
I'm good with that. You're telling me, hey, I make it real easy for you to click and submit that. Like our LinkedIn ads are that. And LinkedIn auto populates it. They just have to click submit.
Even better.
And then I know to reach out.
Even as a potential customer for businesses, I find the same thing. You know what? I found what I wanted here, at least the information. Yeah, I'll give you my email address.
Right. So anyway, in recap there, start small, target, budget. Track conversions.
Learn.
Dude, the amount of this, what I just mentioned is not rocket science. You don't have to be a marketing expert to do it. Mm-hmm. But you do have to pay attention to it. You need to learn something about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, once again, if you're not converting, if you're not tracking conversions, oh, well. I mean,
what's the point?
Well, if you're only using one method, then you might be able to get away with it, but you're still going to be incomplete because you're not going to know what keywords unless you only have one keyword.
And those keywords can fill other forms of content that you create. You know, it's not just for CPC.
Yeah.
You pull some value out of this stuff and start implementing other places, you'd be shocked how things might increase.
And actually, Joel, you have a great point. Sometimes people wonder, like, what keyword should I go for? go to Google and in the search bar, start typing what you want to be found for and look at the dropdown. Because Google puts that in there for a reason. That's what people are actually searching. Okay. So we mentioned when it came to execution, when it came to strategy and the different stuff, we talked about your website and that's your digital business card. As far as execution, some of the stuff that we just mentioned does matter. Like, where are you driving your traffic? And then what message are you delivering? So, if all your marketing and your strategy and your approach go well and you produce traffic, you're going to fail at execution if the user experience or the process, the flow. So once again, key, remove steps. So there's in one of the five colleges that I went to before becoming a junior in college.
You beat me. I got four.
I'm hoping to get an honorary degree from a school in Cebu. That's going to be a fun episode. I think I'll pull it off. Now, I did actually go to a top 10 business school for a year and a half, and I learned a lot of stuff there. One of them was related to supply chain management that also goes really well for sales. So you take the number of steps it takes to do anything, and you take that number, multiply it times itself. So let's take four. Okay, 4 times 4, 16. And then
there's that business school education.
Dude, right there. Boom. That's it. That was the whole point.
Totally worth it.
I'm going to blow your mind now. And then we'll take two.
Okay.
2 times 2 is 4.
Okay.
All right. Now, the difference here is, so whether it's two steps or two touch points or two things that need to occur before any other action to occur, this is a very simplistic formula and it works. It really is, gives you an idea. So this is your difficulty score. So okay. You take four steps versus two steps. So you have 16 or you have 4. Theoretically, and this is what top schools teach, is if you're trying to implement or make anything occur, you are 4 times more likely to be successful with it with 2 steps than 4. So this applies to, like, if you were trying to train people to do something, but it is very applicable to someone completing a transaction as well. So if you require 4 steps to have a conversion, like, for example, like, do you really need to make me sign up to make me buy something? Do I have to create an account? Like, that's a blocker.
I hate signing up for stuff.
I do too. Like, I want to buy it. Let me put in my info. Let me pay you. And then you can send it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to create an account automatically after that. So those are the kind of things that get in the way. So whatever the steps are, now that could also be, you want the shortest path to the cash register possible.
Check out as guest. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, sure. That's a great example. Okay. Guess what? You're still going to collect that person's info because you're going to have to ship it to them or do it with payment or whatever. Don't make them do it twice.
Good point.
That's another part of the steps. Do not collect redundant information. You're making me have to enter things 3 times. There is a world of stuff out there that is like, okay, do you sign up for things because you can use your Google ID or your Facebook?
Yes.
Great. Fast, yeah. Easy. Now, I literally won't sign up for a lot of stuff if they don't have that.
Okay. Good point. Yeah.
Same thing. Because sure. I don't want to sit there and go through 9 steps and I'm on my phone. That's the next part. More than half of your visitors are going to be on a phone. So give credence to that. Mm-hmm. Tiny font, little fields. Annoying stuff.
Big fingers.
But the more fields, the more steps, all of that you have, the more stuff you're trying to collect. And Amazon has changed the way that we buy stuff. They have. Make it fast, make it easy to get to that conversion. All right. So with the website being your digital business card, it's also your biggest clarification tool.
Okay. Yeah.
You will not execute well if you do not answer some simple, but usually common and repetitive objections. You got to handle a few of them. People like, does this come in different colors? I don't know what. Okay. So just being real transparent, some of the common things that people ask at Full Scale, do your developers in the Philippines speak English?
They do.
So for example, we handle that right away. Like when we show you an employee profile, it's got a video built in of that person. Now that said, we had to record 200 videos. There was some work to that, but I don't get that question. like I'll get it early and I will say there's a video on every employee profile. You'll have a very strong grasp of what their English language was. Now, prior to that, I had to do all different kinds of assessments and we'd be like, yeah, written English was a 9 out of 10 and spoken was an 8. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
That's my point. Cause there's no like world. There's no like, how about you just watch this video and then you go, wow, okay, that's cool. But that's an objection. So, you know, those are the kind of things that your website or your quote digital business card should clarify. You don't have to get overly crazy with right. it, but there are probably, if you are making a digital transformation and you understand your business, then you understand the things that people usually ask on their way to buying. Yeah, so clarify it.
Does that mathematical formula you used for the steps, does that apply to the amount of words I should not put on my website?
I don't think so.
Well, no. My point is that. Yeah.
But less is more.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, just get to the point.
Even with words.
Get to the point.
People don't want to read a novel on your website.
People don't even want to read anymore. And by the way, that's a great point. If you can, make a video.
Yeah.
I do it all the time.
It's the most popular.
I've got tons of videos, dude. They're all over. They're all over everything we own. Why? Because I can get your attention for 1 minute and answer like 15 objections and questions. And be done with it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do follow-up calls and emails and different stuff. And not to mention, it also looks like you have your shit together.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start, right?
I mean, people walk away saying, okay, now I know.
Yeah.
And that was easy and quick.
Well, so for example, at Full Scale, we take a slightly different approach or a little altered approach to the standard remote developer model. And we have a video. It's 60 seconds long. It's actually 64 seconds long with intros.
We need to trim that down.
Maybe. We probably get that down to like, yeah, okay, well.
60 is our limit on Instagram.
Maybe. Yeah, well, I don't post this part on Instagram, but I could. So, you know, we do a quick walkthrough. This is how our business model works. This is what occurs. And then we even have a couple follow-up videos, one of which this is how our invoicing works. Mm-hmm. And then we just created one that details the assessment process that we use to hire people.
So people have asked you how they have to pay you and you've explained that to them?
Well, so at Full Scale's
amazing.
Full Scale's business model, we have a cap billing model. Mm-hmm. So the thing is we don't do hourly work. You take someone full time or you don't at all.
Right.
And now then the question is, and it's capped though. So it's based on 160 hours of service, which if they go over that without you driving them to overtime, we don't charge you anymore. But if our employees deliver less than that, we do prorate it because you're paying based on an estimated 160 hours.
Right.
And that is super easy to create some basic infographics around and make a video and explain in 1 minute. And another good thing with videos is if there are multiple decision makers involved in the transaction, they can watch that at any time.
Yeah, it can be shared.
Instead, the alternative is I'm stuck typing emails or creating documents and they can be perceived differently. These videos have my voice. And then Johnny, our creative director, who creates all of the videos that you can find on the Startup Hustle YouTube channel.
He does.
Yeah. That's a lot of work, man.
Johnny YouTube.
We call Johnny a lot of things. Johnny YouTube is not one of them, but like it should be.
That's the first nickname I've given anyone here.
I like it. I like, you can do better. I liked your early stuff when it comes to giving nicknames. So when it comes, like I said, get on point with that. When it comes to the channels that you're on, Joel, what are a few questions that you think people need to ask themselves about the channels?
Well, there's some big ones out there. Something I found really valuable is, do you have the bandwidth to support the content that needs to be created for that channel? You know, you can create an account somewhere, but if you blog, tweet, post, or share once a month, it's probably not that valuable for your brand. You know, so really look at look where your customers are. You know, if you're selling orthopedic shoes, TikTok might not be the best channel for
probably
you.
Not.
Your audience might not be there. If they are, they're probably cool, you know, and they wear orthopedic shoes, but I'm just saying, you know, be smart about, kind of a random comparison.
I think if you're trying to sell orthopedic shoes, you even might want to consider non-digital approaches.
Yeah.
I usually don't picture my 80-year-old mom on the internet, although my dad's like online all day.
I'm just saying the majority of your customers, wherever they're living and wherever they're, you know, digesting content.
Yeah. So like, why do I want to be on here also?
Why?
Yeah.
Why do I want to be on here?
You're right. Right. Now, as you build out a well-rounded digital strategy as well, like, you know, get good at one channel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nice thing about getting good too, is it kind of goes into automation mode. You know how often to post to get engagement. You know, you can look at your insights and see what type of content's good, and then you can start mapping that out.
You can leverage that presence into the next channel as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And you already got a proven strategy and a proven cadence that might work somewhere else if the channels are similar.
And that's, you know, when it comes to execution as well, that's the next part that we wanted to discuss, is building a simple calendar.
I love calendars for this stuff.
I know you do. And that's part of your job, so you should. Well, but meaning like, and that's the thing, as once again, as you expand, all right, having one channel and a simple approach, and like a calendar is still a good idea.
It is.
and it's building habits, executable habits.
Repetition.
Yeah, but it's also good practice, because if your business grew, the point of digital strategy is to get more business, is to grow the business, is to, then that involves more people. It's like a full scale, we get 200 people in 2 years. And dude, like there's things we started doing a year ago to prepare for that, once we saw it coming, that if we hadn't, oh my God, it would be really ugly.
Yeah.
But, and then we're constantly defining and refining that, and sometimes changing it, just flat out changing it, because what worked at one point, you grow out of it.
Sure.
But with the calendar part, it establishes clear and concise or precise expectations about what, where, and when.
Yeah. Even the roles, you know, designers and writers have different roles. Now they can look at their schedule a week or a month ahead of time and say, okay, I'm going to knock this out.
And there's tools like Divvy, DIVVYHQ.com. Yeah. They've been on the podcast before, that help you execute, plan, and do all of it for content marketing.
Yeah. Down to telling people, hey, you've missed this deadline by a half hour. I mean, it's a cool platform.
Yeah. And those levels of sophistication are easily accessible for anyone. You don't have to be Mr. Marketing or Mrs. Marketing. You know, also when it comes to calendars, you know, there are days of the week that are probably better. And then time of day, same thing with the CPC ads. You know, for when the Startup Hustle podcast comes out at 5 a.m. Central Daylight Time. And then shortly thereafter, a thumbnail for it appears on our Instagram.
Yeah.
Now, also speaking of timing, though, we launched the video on the YouTube channel at the same time that the podcast comes out. You can time all these things. You can set them up. Like, we don't use anything crazy to tell YouTube when to make our video public.
Yeah. So what's the value of posting a podcast that early in the morning?
For us, we want it to be available for the morning commute.
And then
why do we do it at like 5 and not later? Well, first off, people wake up and do things at a bunch of different times. Also, in regards to a podcast, that needs to appear in a feed sometimes, and those things just aren't instant.
Right.
So you might get it, if you're a subscriber to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, you might get a notification, but it's hey, a new episode's available. It invariably is never exactly at the time that it came out. They're handling and aggregating a bunch of data. And, you know, so for that, also, I think with the execution, you're talking about being consistent.
Right.
So when I was helping JC Lopez build his YouTube channel, he had already had a huge Instagram presence. And JC Lopez is, it's JAYSSE, if you want to check it out, known as 2J's Kicks on YouTube. He's got 250,000 subscribers.
And a cool nickname.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, yeah. JC or 2J's.
2J Kicks.
Yeah.
2J's Kicks. I mean, technically, I'm so, JJ as well.
But as we were building that, we talked to, you know, he had a lot of access to a lot of quote influencers, social media influencers. And as I was around a lot of them, I was just, hey, what's the key? What's the key? What's the key? And overwhelming consistency. Like, you have to continue to push, publish, and pique interest in different ways.
Yeah, that's the calendar for me.
Yeah.
It's also a tool for repetition and going and making myself look at the metrics.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about posting maybe not on the weekends or at a certain time of day, that these, you know, these entities, these channels, they'll help you kind of say, yeah, hey, this is where your prime time is.
Dude, some of it's just common sense.
Well, of course.
I mean, it's just literally common sense.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, that's, you know, we always love being transparent on for, a startup hustle and the difference we have in our time between our, it's a 14-hour difference in Cebu. And we've had to clarify that a couple of times. We're like, hey, 9 a.m. there is not 9 a.m. here.
Right.
So like, that's like 7 p.m.
I'm learning that.
7 p.m. the day before. So, you know, but you have to give some consideration to that.
Yeah, you should.
Think it out. All right. So next in the vein of high level execution is evaluation and testing. I often quote my friends in Humphreys McGee and say, "Rage, rest, repeat."
Nice.
So it's okay. You hear the terms like fail fast. It's okay to come out of the box, collect a lot of data, rest, and then repeat. You know, like make those adjustments. And, you know, we mentioned starting with a small campaign. Okay. Run it, get through that $50 or whatever you want to spend, look at it, make some adjustments, repeat.
Yeah.
Do it again, 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 rage, rest, repeat.
Yeah. There is no, this isn't the phone book, right? This ad is living and ongoing, yeah, and people can go through your history, yep, and see what you did a year ago. So
keep in going. Social media, they can. Yeah. CPC, a little less.
Right.
But with that, that's the, you know, refine and define, or define, then refine.
Yeah, both. Either
and
way.
Sometimes it's just both. And then don't be afraid to turn something off. Like sometimes the best solution is to stop.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid to turn it off. And like, you're way better off not doing anything at all than just leaking 80% due to inefficiency or ignorance
and leaking it poorly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So just a little recap, and we're our time at this 4-part series has nearly come and gone.
Okay.
So, hopefully you gained some experience.
Me?
Not you. Well, you had some, but I bet you learned a few things too.
I did. I mean, it's just reinforced kind of, you know, my own strategy, which I've kind of developed over the years. You know, I never stop learning, and I always try and schedule things out. And I get opinions on things, both yours and people on our team, of, you know, do you think this will work? Is my logic flawed? You know, do we need to change these up? And yeah, sometimes we do, and
be
sometimes
open.
We don't, but
yeah,
we always, yeah, we open. Always test. We yeah. always test and refine.
And you even saw me recently, like, I'm really trying to figure out these LinkedIn ads. I'm like, well, I just wasted $50 in 3 minutes.
Yes.
Because I let their automatic bidding take over, and it literally spent my $50 trial in 3 minutes.
Read all the fine print. That's another good.
It just, like I said, just really put some, that's why I say start small.
Right.
Now it's cool. I figured that out. I learned a $50 lesson.
Yeah. That's, and in okay. some of these cases, some channels you can start small, yeah, like $25 and get some metrics.
Well, I think that the probably one of the more common things is like the boost post, yeah, which, by the way, don't let all these channels decide, make all your decisions for you, because they don't know, you know.
Yeah.
They'll help you figure it out, but they don't know up front. So, you know, some of those things are meant to be like, hey, boost post, $20.
Yeah.
I mean, that can be okay. I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but you're probably not going to collect. You're not going to be super precise.
I mean, back at Husqvarna, all we did was put our page out there. Yeah. We stopped boosting posts because we got no engagement.
That's the point.
We'd boost a page and it would blew up.
So you got to be targeted. And in your case, you guys sold a lot of different types of products, and the closer you could be to targeting them and showing them to people that were relevant. Because, like, I mean, that one of their products is a robot lawnmower.
That's a forest and garden side, but yes.
If I don't have a lawn, okay, it would be terrible to serve those ads to people that lived in downtown Tokyo.
They would not have a high click-through rate.
No one has a lawn.
But they might like robots.
They don't need a robot lawnmower. Different thing, different subject. Okay, so just kind of a quick recap, you know, make your website quick, easy, efficient, make it easy to read. You know, think about what it's going to look like in mobile. When it comes to Facebook, you got to separate your personal from your professional.
Please.
Please do. please do. Facebook has a great ad manager. I mean, you can really get in there and do a lot of different stuff. You can do a lot of different targeting. Instagram's the same way. It's owned by Facebook. So
pretty intuitive platform for that type of stuff when you're first starting out, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here at Startup Hustle, we've experienced a really high degree of success with Instagram ads. They're very affordable and they're very effective. I had to learn some places where that wasn't the case on the way to that, but then I figured it out. And that's really the only place we've ever promoted, truly paid to promote Startup Hustle.
Yeah.
LinkedIn. Great for professional stuff.
Keep it professional.
Yeah, keep it professional. And then also, you know, one thing we didn't actually get to is all these pages. Like if you're advertising your business on Facebook, make sure your Facebook business page looks good. Same thing with LinkedIn. Those are landing pages just like your website. We did discuss blog. Now the blog is for career stats. Dude, I've literally made millions of dollars blogging.
Yeah. It's kind of not a forgotten art, but it used to be huge.
And still is.
Right, I know.
I just had to get better at it.
I'm learning that.
You used to be able to do it and get away with a lot of bullshit. And I did. And then I got punished for it. Mm. And then I got better at it. But really, in the end, Google knows quality. It's very hard to game the search engine. Mm-hmm. With blog marketing, if you are going to aim for general keywords, you are going to have a long ass article with a lot of value added content in it. That's one of the factors that's going to look into it. Or if you're going to take a briefer, approach that I actually like on many days, long tail marketing, those articles can be a little shorter, a little less in depth. Now with long tail, you're not going for the overall volume as much as you are picking up the little onesie twosies.
Okay.
So you're going for one or two, like that's the low hanging fruit.
Okay.
But if you're going to chase the long tail, and they call it the long tail, because if you look at a marketing graph and like where the searches go, the long tail would be all the ones and it just goes in a long tail forever. Okay. At one point, and I feel like this is when people actually bought music on iTunes and they didn't just stream it, on any given day the ones all added up were bigger than all of the other numbers larger than one added together.
That makes sense. Yeah,
but most people don't think about that,
and it wouldn't look as good.
It's not as sexy,
right?
It's like if you're advertising for blue jeans, you're not going to come up first for blue jeans. Don't even try. Mm-mm. Buy blue jeans in Kansas City is a more long tail term, and people put in long stuff in the search engine. So you might actually have a chance of being found for that.
Yeah. Denim maybe.
Yeah. And then here at the end is Google, you know, Google.
It's Google it.
And they own YouTube. They own the YouTubes.
I could have saved myself and my parents so much money if I had just Googled a lot of things.
Oh God.
You know?
Yeah. When I interviewed you, one of the questions was, do you know how to use Google?
Yeah, I use it all. Google and YouTube. I've almost built a motorcycle from scratch off YouTube videos.
I built a deck.
Built a deck.
A big one.
Nice.
Like, I mean, all parts of it. Like I watched a lot of YouTube videos and sometimes built it and then took it back apart and then tried it again.
Right.
Eventually I got it right.
The first motorcycle ended up in pieces.
Yeah. So, and that's where we're going to end this. And hopefully you found some good stuff. If you want some help with developing any of this stuff, go to fullscale.io and check out what we do there. If you do have a full-time developer, you can tap right into our marketing stuff. We will be more than happy to plug you into our assembly line and make all of this a hell of a lot easier too.
I'm ready. So,
yeah, it's definitely worth it. But in regards to Google and where I wanted to stop there, that is the primary place to try to get found in the end. Social media is great, but you know, Google is very well-rounded in the stuff that they give. And the main part is you got to learn about all this. If you want to be a digital strategist, you want to execute the strategy, you want to do all of it, and you have to be a student of the game. And that's why Google's the place to stop, because you can search it.
You can.
Search, learn, apply. See you next time.
For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.